Good morning. We have a special guest with us this morning, all the way from Cincinnati, and she is a dear and beloved friend of mine, and you are going to love how God speaks in her and through her. Mary Schmard is with us. She is our lay leader for the West Ohio Conference, and she attends church at Hartzell. And there's a Hartwell and a Hartzell, so I always try to make sure I get the right one. So anyway, there's a little blurb in our bulletin about Mary, and when you have some time, please read that. And don't forget our shoes for the shoeless that's up here after the worship service. Mary, will you come up and share God's word with us?
Good morning. I am very grateful to be here this morning. I will apologize ahead of time because I am on the end of recovering from double pneumonia. And so if my voice trails off, you'll know why. But trust me, I have a lot of breath in here, so God's word will not go unnoticed. Listen to the word of the Lord from Isaiah 61, 1 through 7. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and release to the prisoners. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God. To comfort all who mourn. To provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord to display His glory. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations, and they shall repair the ruined cities that have been devastated for many generations. Strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and foreigners shall till your land and dress your vines. But you shall be called priest of the Lord, and you shall be named ministers of our God. You shall enjoy the wealth of nations, and in their riches you shall glory. Because of their shame was double, the dishonor was proclaimed as their lot. Therefore, you shall possess a double portion, everlasting shall be theirs. This is the word of God. For the people of God. I want to share a little bit of God's words today that may make some of you feel a little uncomfortable, but at the same time, I hope that it inspires you and challenges you to build your confidence in the call that God has placed on your life. But I warn you that doing God's will and being in ministry for the Lord, it's not easy. And it's probably not going to be your dream job. And it's probably not the job that you thought that you were going to do your entire life. But the word of the Lord says that we are called. So I want to start today by asking you, if you remember, there's an old saying, some of you may be too young, but the old saying was that your eyes are bigger than your stomach. And so often when I was growing up, I often saw things that looked really, really good, and I wanted it all, even though it wasn't good for me. And my parents would tell me often, yeah, you think you want all that. Just wait till you try to eat it all. You're really not one at all. And so oftentimes during my lifetime, I would make decisions. based on what I thought was good for me and what looked good to me, but in reality was not good for me at all. Sometimes those things actually made me sick. But then God hit me over the head with a 2x4. Because, you see, that's the kind of relationship we have. He hits me upside the head, and eventually I pay attention because I get shaken up enough that I can't help it. And this time, he basically said, Mary, are you listening? Are you listening to me now? Because this life is not about what you want. This life is about you allowing me to love you enough so that I can create in you the very best person that you deserve to be. This is not about what you want to do for me. This is about what I need you to do for me. And so I finally got the message. But it took him the next 25 years of my life to prepare me for what he wanted me to do for him instead of what I wanted to do for him. Because after all, I had to relearn the lesson that sometimes my eyes are bigger than my stomach and what I think I want isn't really good for me. So this leads me to the point of my message today. When God calls you into ministry, don't expect to be coddled or pitied or for people to put your arms around you and tell you what a great person you are because you decided to give your life to Jesus. No, you will not be coddled, but you will be equipped and you will be empowered. Because you have been called. Today's scripture gives us the source of strength. It gives us our purpose. It provides the power that we need. And it also gives us hope for the future. Because when you truly digest the words of God that we're going to talk about today, you can wear them with confidence and with joy. So let's begin by looking at our source of power that comes through our scripture today. In verse 1, our scripture says that the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. You see, what happens is that when you give up the ghost of your own self-interest, the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you, and it gives you strength, and it gives you power. This is the same Holy Spirit, the very same Holy Spirit that came down upon Jesus Christ when he started his public ministry. The very same Holy Spirit that allowed Jesus the power to perform miracle after miracle. This is the same Holy Spirit that comforted him and gave him strength when he was in the garden and in the desert. Yes, that very same Holy Spirit is upon each and every one of you as you go about the work of serving our Holy Father right here, right now, on this holy ground called Faith Community, and in this community called Xenia, the same Holy Spirit. Think about that. Think about the idea that that same Holy Spirit is resting on your shoulders. Not only does the Spirit of the Lord rest on you, Scripture tells us that you have been anointed. Now, don't go getting the big head. Just accept God's word as truth. You see, God has placed an anointing on each and every one of you. An anointing that gives you all the necessary power that you need to fulfill the call that He has placed on your life. He is letting you know that there is nothing, nothing that you and He together cannot handle. And so Scripture goes on in this passage to tell us about our purpose. And it gives us quite a long list. It says we are to preach good news to the poor. We are to bind up the brokenhearted. We are to proclaim freedom for the captives and release of darkness to the prisoners. We are to proclaim the Lord's favor and also His day of vengeance. We are to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who are grieving. And finally, it says that we are to do whatever we can to turn their spirits of despair into garments of praise. Well, I'm here to tell you, folks, that's a very long list. That's a very hard list to work off of. But God has called you to serve Him. And He is not here to coddle you, because ministry is not easy. As a matter of fact, ministry is very tiring, is it not? It's exhausting. Sometimes you wish that you had not been called, because it takes 100% commitment and focus. It takes constant prayer, and it takes a very, very strong relationship with the Lord, a daily relationship with the Lord. And it takes, above all else, your desire to surrender yourself completely to God's will in your life. But the good news is that He is not expecting you to do this alone. For He will be with you. He will never forsake you, and He will never abandon you. Because remember what Scripture just said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon you, and you have been anointed. However, there are some pretty hard-line expectations that fall squarely on your shoulders when you give yourself over to Christ. One of those things that fall on us is to find out specifically what God is calling each and every one of us to do, using our own unique spiritual giftings, our personalities, and our passions to line up with the needs of the world and where God is calling you to serve. So I want to throw out a couple of questions just to help you discern some of this if you're thinking about it. The first question is, who are the spiritually poor in your world that need to hear the good message of Christ's love? Is it family members? Is it friends? Is it co-workers, fellow church people? Who are those people in your world that need to hear the good news of Christ? Who are the brokenhearted? Those who are being held captive by their own bad decisions. Those who are suffering with addiction. Those who are suffering with domestic violence. Those who are taking high-risk behaviors. Those who are suffering in all kinds of prisons of their own making. Who are those people that need to be set free? Who are the people in your world that need to hear the good news of God's favor, but also need to hear the consequences of His vengeance? Who are those people in your world that need to be brought to a decision? Who are those people in your world that need to be confronted with the choices that they make every day? Who are those that you can touch, those that you have influence over, who need the transformative power of Jesus Christ to turn their spirits of despair into garments of praise? Who are those people? When you prayerfully discern the answers to those questions, and you combine them with your own personalities, your own passions, your own desires to serve the Lord, God is going to direct you, and the Holy Spirit will lead you into truth. And you will find that place of calling for you. You will find your place of ministry. As we looked at the scripture today, I was once again astounded by the fact that God often shows me things in scripture that I've never seen before. And I guess that's why we call it the living word, because there's always something that pops off the page. But in this case, it's a little tiny pronoun. And in verse 3, the pronoun is the word they, T-H-E-Y. You see, the pronoun they is a collective pronoun. It's not about you, and it's not about me. It is a collective result of all those who are involved in the give and take of ministry. Because we have been blessed to be a blessing. And when we give, we get so much more in return. The word they here means that the results of ministry that God offers to those of us who give and to those who are receiving result in this wonderful collective team of people who can become more productive and more efficient to spread the kingdom of God, because we are no longer a you and a me, we are a they. And together, we are the body of Christ. We build God's team. Look what scripture says here. It says, they will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting for the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will be called oaks of righteousness, together as a team. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities devastated for generations. Together, those who serve and those who receive become a team. And together that team will do all that God has promised that we can do together. Now watch what happens to the word they in this scripture. The word they now becomes a collective you. Y-O-U. And scripture says, you will be called priests of the Lord and will be named ministers of our God. That's all of you. Every single person in here. Every single person has been called to the priesthood of all believers. All of you are ministers of the gospel. It says that you will feed on the wealth of nations, and in their riches you will boast. This does not mean the material rewards of a conquered people. This means the spiritual rewards of what happens when collectively we take back our towns, we take back our land, we take back our cities, we take back our communities for Christ. When we do that, collectively, we reap the spiritual rewards of those conquered people who are now able to experience the freedom in Christ that we know in our lands and our cities and our towns and our countries. Become the very heart of the ministry of God himself. And it says people will rejoice in their inheritance because they will no longer live in disgrace. You see, when you spread the message of the good news of Jesus Christ, people don't ever have to be in disgrace again. Because scripture tells us that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So together we live as a body of Christ, united in the freedom that only he can bring. So you need to think about doing the hard work of ministry. You need to find out what God needs you to do for him, and not what you want to do for him. You're going to get tired, and you're going to get discouraged. And at times, you will feel like you have been asked to sacrifice so much more than you can ever possibly give. But I'm here to tell you that you will be filled with the inexpressible joy. The inexpressible joy of serving our Holy Father. Because you will be on fire with the Holy Spirit. And with the anointing that God has planted on you, all things are possible. I challenge you today to embrace this anointing that God has placed on you. I challenge you to trust in the power and the strength of the Holy Spirit. And I challenge you to take a risk, to step out in faith, to take that one step forward and find out what it is that God wants you to do for Him. You have been called. You belong to the priesthood of all believers. You are indeed the body of Christ. Don't expect to be coddled. Don't expect a lot of pity. But the one thing that you can expect is the promise of Scripture. And that promise is that God will hold you in the palm of His hand. Let us pray. Most precious and loving Lord, how we thank you for all the many ways that you have called us. We thank you that you have not let go of us, that when we want to give up, you are there to hold us up. We thank you and we are blessed. Help us be a blessing to others as we go forward on this day. Amen.